on the app, on the website, the Twitter, however you're getting us. It's great to have you with us. Halfway through 4 hours, we've got another two together. I'm Rick Tittle, and this is my man, the guru, right here to my left. We'll take you all the way up to Warrior Warm-Up at 4 o'clock with Chris Townsend. It's Chris Townsend and Kerry Keating, I believe. And Steiny is in there. And, of course, get to pick six out in Pleasanton.
I call them the clique. The clique. All three of my guys.
The clique. We were talking a little Kentucky Derby earlier, too. We also we gave our picks. But coming up at 2:30, Bip Roberts, former Oakland A, Cincinnati Red, San Diego Padre, and the pride of Skyline High School. He'll be with us to talk about the A's. And at 3:30, Connor Letourneau from the Golden State Warriors beat writer from the Chronicle. He'll be with us as well. Guru, by the way, guys with French names like that just works better, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking like the hockey player with Tampa Bay, Vincent LeCavalier.
Oh, yeah, the women love it.
You don't say my name's, you know, Vince LeCavalier.
No.
You go, what's your name? And you're like, Guru Tittle. What about you? I am Vincent LeCavalier. How does that not work?
Oh, it works.
It works. Yeah. It's fun just to say, Vincent LeCavalier.
That is right, Rick.
Speaking of TV, I don't know. It's live radio. Speaking of TV, when I heard that your main man, Tony Romo, after hearing, you know, would he be cut? Would he be traded? What is Jerry Jones going to do? Because he loves him. And the locker room is split between Dak and him. And then Romo's feelings were hurt that some people wanted Dak. And he was going to go to the Texans. No, it was going to be the Broncos. And in the end, he ended up going to CBS television and replacing Phil Simms as the number one guy with Jim Nantz, right?
Yes.
Now, and that makes sense to me in a weird way.
What?
Tony Romo has a lot of personality, and Tony Romo to me seems like a guy who is very affable and I think will add a little bit of humor and insight. It's still a risk.
The key word is seems, Rick. You don't know him personally.
I know.
And I think it's offensive that people that are adequate and qualified to get that prestigious job next to Jim Nantz are overlooked because number nine, who I loved on the football field, is just going to come in the box because he's the name.
Good.
It's the same thing with this election and this whole society. It used to be substance over style. Now it's just style, and we're all going to hell in a handbasket. It's embarrassing, and now we have a new one,
right?
Jay Cutler.
We'll get to that in a second, but to me, Phil Simms at 62, he didn't even watch the games anymore. Have you ever heard him do a game?
I loved him.
He doesn't even watch.
Well, I guess I'm the only one that loved Phil Simms.
You remember,
CBS
like,
had him employed for damn near 10 years.
Right. You feel sorry for a guy who loses his job at 62?
No, it's not about that. I thought I liked listening to Phil Simms.
All right. Growing up as a Raider fan, the Raider hate, like everybody goes, oh, Dick Emberg, he's so great. Dick Emberg was
great.
One of the most partial announcers I ever heard.
That's fine.
He and no, it's not. When he's unfortunately the Raiders scored a touchdown, unfortunately, can't. And then Kellen Winslow, that he just openly hated the Raiders and rooted for the Chargers. You had Don Kricke and who was that other guy? Bob Trumpy.
Oh, I loved it. Go ahead.
Oh,
those were my guys.
And then
Rick.
Dan Dierdorf, who's like, oh, put the kids to bed. Dan Dierdorf would never even look at his monitor. Oh, looks like it was a
Everybody
fumble.
Everybody you're naming, I loved.
Oh, I can't stand those guys. They're just Raider haters. They're so impartial. It's not professional. A guy I respect would be like a Vin Scully. He does the 1988 World Series, and you couldn't tell he was the Dodgers announcer. That, to me, is being a professional play-by-play guy. You can't do a national
Harry
game.
Harry Carey was a homer, but okay, but that was the Cubs. He wasn't national.
Yeah, but when you do it, you're right. You can be a homer. It doesn't really work out here. Harry Carey, when he did the A's, that didn't work out when Charlie Finley tried him here.
And found out he did the A's.
Yeah, he had to go to the Cubs. But these guys who do national shows, they shouldn't root for one team like they did.
But my point is, Rick, it's a slap in the face to broadcasting. I'm a guy. I'm a spectator. I don't like watching the game in the clubs where I can't hear everything. I depend and go home and just want to hear these announcers enhance my in-game experience of watching. And Jay Cutler and Tony Romo are pros at throwing the football and have no damn business to go straight off the football field into the booth for guys like you, a professional, to say, you know what, I'm all good with it. It's okay.
But you know the business. It's ratings.
No, dude, what's rating about the listener in my ears? Tony Romo does not have passion to be a broadcaster.
How do you know?
Because he's a football player, Rick.
So was Phil Simms. He was a quarterback.
And look how that worked out. My point is he got the wrong end of the stick. And he's being replaced.
After what, 30 years on the air?
Well, how bad was he if he lasted that long?
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know.
His scholarships, man.
I feel sorry for anybody who loses his job. But you know better than anybody, it's a ratings game. But the difference is, to me,
it's a listening game, Rick, to me.
I don't want to hear Phil Simms. He's senile.
Okay, so you want to hear Tony Romo?
Yeah, give him a chance. Anybody but Phil Simms,
what about
please.
The other guy that's qualified?
I don't care. This isn't some altruistic program of seniority and education. It's entertainment. Who will entertain me the most? Who will give me the best information?
And if Phil Simms can't even see these two guys the benefit of the doubt?
I'm not giving Cutler the benefit of the doubt. We'll get to that in a minute.
No.
Because Cutler, to me, seems like somebody who has zero personality.
It's the same word.
Why would anyone see? Well, this is the thing. Don't you think Tony Romo had moments of jocularity and bombastic sort of interactions with the press that seemed like maybe he would be made for this?
I watched every press conference. No.
You don't think so?
He wasn't boring. But I'm talking about enhancing my football game watching, and either one of those guys are not qualified, and now they're on the top-tier teams. It's ridiculous, and I don't know why I'm surprised or shocked.
All right, well, let me throw some names at you then. Walt Weiss.
Great shortstop.
Matheny, the manager of the
Cardinals.
Cardinals. Mike Matheny, sorry.
Gotcha.
Larry Durker.
I see where you're going.
They didn't put in their time in the minors.
It's different.
Why? What about the qualified AAA manager?
Because you look at the game, and those guys were like managers on the field. It was still baseball. These are guys.
But I thought you cared about pecking order.
No, I care about how you sound, your cadence, and, you know, the familiarity to where – maybe I could hear Tony Romo do a college game or some other game, and then they say, okay, this is a guy taking over. But to come straight off the gridiron and people accept it like it's okay, it's offensive to the broadcasting community, for the guys and gals that put in their time. So you're saying no, but there are a bunch of people that are upset, though.
No, I understand that,
Rick. But don't tell me he's going to sound like Brent Musburger or he's going to sound like John Madden
Summerall. I never said that.
But you're up here saying it's okay.
I want somebody who will watch the game and not on the 15th replay go, oh, maybe he did fumble because the guy was so busy talking out of his behind that he never even looked at the monitor. That's what I want.
I like Phil Simms, man.
I'm not saying he deserved to be fired. I'm just like, give somebody else a chance. That's fine, but you know how this business works, Goo. Do you think anyone ever asked me if I graduated from college, which I did? No, because it doesn't matter. This is like a construction site. Can you swing a hammer?
No.
Are you good at hitting a nail? Whoever is going to entertain and get the best ratings is going to get the work. That's just the way it is.
This is not stand-up comedy, Rick.
So by birthright, Phil Simms gets to hang on to the job till he's 70?
So the NFL needs to pimp out their sport for ratings? People are going to come watch the game regardless. But the commentators are the icing on the cake to me because I take it seriously.
Right.
So for Tony Romo so now I got to listen to Tony F and Romo.
Well, what about the first
football?
What about the first year Phil Simms did it? Were you upset the first year Phil Simms did it?
No, because he was good.
But you're not even giving your boy a chance. This is the thing. Now, I want to read this to you.
Somebody needs to remind Guru how he got his job. Damn. Now, at least it was a damn contest. At least it was something in the same vicinity of what we're doing right now, a microphone and opinions.
It doesn't matter. It's like Jack Del Rio said. It doesn't matter how you got here. You got here. And
no shame in that.
Yeah.
This is mind-boggling to me.
Look, it's hard enough to get up here on the 12th floor. And I told this to the Three Amigos when they had their 1 year anniversary.
Right.
I think anybody can do this for a couple months and then, you know, but if you last a year like they did, then you're legit. You made it. You're broadcasters. You got nothing to
I'm not saying
you're legit beyond belief. It doesn't,
I just read the text.
It doesn't. Yeah, you don't even read that text. It doesn't matter how you got here. It's like, as you said, stand-up comedy, all walks of life. If you get here, you get here. Now, I want to read this to you. Tittle and Guru, 95.7 The Game, by the way, 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. Rick Morrissey is a beat writer for the Bears in Chicago, writing for CST.com. He says, I'll just read a couple lines. Jay Cutler as a TV broadcaster isn't a joke. It's a punchline. Jay Cutler going into TV broadcasting is like me pursuing a modeling career. Rarely has an idea seemed so ridiculous, so beyond the outer reaches of reality. Yet there it was Friday. Breaking news. The master of the mumbled response joining Fox as a color commentator. Now, I happen to agree with him. I was shocked because I've never seen Jay Cutler say anything that seemed even the least bit
interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Rick.
He's going to the number two team. Do you feel better about that?
No, I don't. I just feel bad for the guy that got passed over. I feel bad for the person that's actually listening. When you say ratings, the NFL doesn't need any help in ratings, Rick. I'm just
ratings
telling
you.
Ratings are down. I know.
I think that's why these moves are made. The ratings are down.
Who's tuning in to listen to Tony Romo over watching the damn game?
Guru,
if you weren't watching before,
world.
Rick, you're not coming because Tony Romo is doing the color on the game.
Nope. This is the thing, Guru. You and I are hardcore football fans. They're going to tune in no matter what.
Thank you.
Tony Romo is a good-looking guy. He's younger, and you go anyone under 40, and you give him a chance at Phil Sims or Tony Romo, they're not going to pick Phil Sims. This is better for their ratings. And, if I may be so bold, Tony Romo, the ladies like him too. Do they like Phil Sims at 62? No. No, I'm not saying that's the only reason women tune in, but there are a lot of things that are very much underlying. It doesn't hurt that he's good looking and women like him. That never hurts when you're in TV, whether you're a woman or a man, to be good looking. That's not why you should get your job. But
people do.
People do. And I'm just saying, all those things go into Tony Romo is much more in the now than Phil Sims is. He's 62. He had a great run. So maybe it is odd, I agree with you, that he gets the number one spot. But they feel that this guy is going to be a star.
Because he's friends with Jim Nance and they golf together.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. So you don't think, hey, homie, you know what? I ain't going back to Dallas. Holler at the boss for me and see if you can hook me up. I won't even hate on that. I'm just appalled that you're saying people that are not football fans will now tune in because Tony Romo, who you'll see, what, twice or three times a game on your actual television, he's going to bring that crowd in, the non-football fan. And that report about the ratings are down, bullpucky. I'm not buying that. The NFL is king, but Romo is not going to tap into a market now to where people, that fan, didn't watch football and is now going to come watch because number nine's in the booth.
It doesn't,
no way.
It doesn't hurt. It helps more than having Phil Sims. Unless you're a hardcore guy like us, we'll watch anyway. Let's go to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. Sam is in Pittsburgh, California. What's going on, Sam? Hello, Sam.
Hello?
Sam, you're on the air, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
All right.
I got to disagree with Guru, man. This is the absolute right call. Phil Sims should have been off years ago. He's terrible. And this is something the NFL's been doing for years now, is bringing these guys who are character. Like, I'm not a Romo fan, but he's a character that I could see people getting behind and showing support for. I mean, look at Rich Gannon. Look at Lynch was doing it. You have all these guys that it's not necessarily the knowledge that they have, but is it a character that at one time, as a football fan, I appreciated on the field? So you bring in these guys that you want to, you know, that as for a lot of kids, childhood, you know, heroes, now they're on camera. I think it's a good match for CBS. It's a long time coming. Phil Sims should have been fired years ago. He was terrible. He's been terrible for a while.
All right. All right, thanks. I got it, Sam. Thank you very much for the call. He's not a Sims fan. Like I said, I didn't want the guy to get fired. I'm not a big fan of his either.
He's not fired. He said he's still.
Oh, no, yeah, he's still going to. Yeah.
Still call games.
So he's not even fired.
Right. It wasn't about it. I'm not sitting here saying he's going to be hurting for money. Mm-hmm. My point is the guy or gal that's put in work for CBS calling football games, and we can sit here for an hour and I can give you 10 names that should have got that opportunity before Tony Romo. That's all I'm saying.
I don't care where you work, and I can tell you that I've gotten jobs that other people wanted, and I've been passed by. That's just the biz, man.
Well, I get that.
It's the biz. Someone who understands that is our good friend Mustang Matt. We were in Pittsburgh. Let's go right across the road to Antioch. What's up, man?
Oh, just trying to hustle on a Saturday. And anyways, me and Guru are Cowboys fans, and you know, for me, Romo was the greatest quarterback in the regular season for our franchise over two Hall of Famers.
I'm with you.
Staubach and Aikman, yes.
I do not want to hear him commentating the football game. I can make a correlation with the A's. Scott Hatterberg and Eric Chavez are a snore show. And they know a lot about the game, especially Xavi. He was a great player. But listening, I like the personalities. Like, you guys are personalities on the air, right? These guys were players that obviously knew about the game and could shed light on that. But I'd rather have people that like to talk about the game that not necessarily were in it, but can still give us a good picture of what we're watching.
Right. So, well, yeah, Matt, listen, I hear you. And everybody has their own cup of tea. And you have to find out. Like, Kruk and Kipe are great.
Phenomenal.
I happen to think that Mark Mulder is really good. I agree with you with Xavi. I wasn't as hard on Hattie as everybody else was. But you never know. No one says this is going to be a success. They're just giving it a shot.
Right. Well, I just wanted to give my two cents because we've seen great players try to make the transition to actually have a conversation about the sport as it's going on, and there's not too many that are great.
Matt, did you like OJ on Monday Night Football?
You know, that was a long time ago.
Maybe you're not old enough.
I'm a baseball fan than I am a football fan.
All right.
But, yeah, sorry, I can't get.
All right, hey, listen, I appreciate taking the time to call. That's Mustang Matt out there, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. So far, Goo, we got a guy agreeing with me in Pittsburgh. We got a guy in Antioch agreeing with you. Let's go back to the freeway, and we got Dan the Man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, listening in, and I got to say, I'm totally with Guru on this one. Maybe it hits a nerve. I used to be in broadcasting 25 years ago.
Deerdorf?
I did some color commentary back for basketball, and they chose a name guy over me for the next.
Oh, it's Dan Bellomini.
No, it's not. It's Dan Chickarell.
Okay.
But back then I was Chick Daniels. But I'm completely with Guru on this one in the sense that I never, ever, ever watch a game finding out who's broadcasting the game. I'm there to watch the game. Half the time the TV's either turned off to put Romo at the front of the line. He just retires and he hop, skips, and a jump past all these other people who are working their ass off in the business, excuse my French, working their tail off like you guys are, paying your dues, who know the game, whether or not you played. I'm not saying that people who played don't have a right to jump into the broadcast booth, but pay your dues. Even Deerdorf, he was like with KMOX for 20 years or something before he probably went national. Pay your dues.
You're no relation to Chick Daniels and the Royal Hawaiians, are you?
I'm not. No.
Okay.
Is there a Chick Daniels?
I just Googled Chick Daniels, and yeah, it's like kind of like a tiny bubbles Don Ho type of thing.
I'm Chick Daniels back from KNWZ Palm Springs back in 1989 when I was doing sports talk radio before there was sports talk radio. It kills me every day that I let it go.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Chick. I appreciate it.
So you didn't know
in 1989 there was no sports talk radio?
No, Pete Franklin invented that. But you didn't know about the Nance Romo connection, huh? That I mentioned earlier.
I don't know.
No, they're buds.
All
they
right.
golf together. And
well,
I'm just...
well, listen, I can tell you this. That probably helped that Jim Nance. I hope just... Phil Simms didn't feel like he was stabbed in the back, but I'm probably
I'm sure he does.
Someone who's like, and listen, a color commentator should be a guy who played. The play-by-play guy could be a Spiro Dides. It could be, you know, a Ian Eagle, Kevin Harlan.
Okay.
Great play.
Phenomenal. Solomon Wilcox.
There you go. That's why I'm so in awe of a Dwayne Kuiper, who's an amazing play-by-play guy.
He's great.
And he was a player. That's very rare. A color guy should be someone like, you know, Ray Fosse. He doesn't do play-by-play. He does color. He played the game. So to explain to us,
and he's great.
Why did the pitcher throw that? Because he threw him that because he's setting him up for the next pitch. Oh, okay. We didn't know that. We never pitched. Just things like that. So you can't just get a guy like you and me. I mean, I guess I could do college football since I played, but you can't get you and me to do NFL color. You have to get a guy who is, quote unquote, in the trenches. This isn't play-by-play. It's color commentary, right. Phil Sims was.
I get you. And there are 100 Ray Fosses that probably got behind the mic, Rick, and couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel comfortable, didn't sound good.
We used to
have
Harlan Killebrew out here in Oakland.
And I know I'm sounding, you know, like I'm crying for the hardworking guys in this business of broadcasting getting passed over for the actual, you know, big name per se. But my thing is, as much as I look forward to watching the game, football, baseball, basketball, I also love who's broadcasting the games. And okay. Now that I have my DirecTV and I'm listening to all these feeds, I'm listening to guys that are trying their hardest and gals who are not good at it. So when you do hear the Kuipers and Krugs and you know, likes of that matter, you're like, man, they are damn good. Tony Romo has, this is what I know, he has no passion, never expressed passion to do this job that he's getting a scholarship for.
Well, you asked me if I knew him personally.
That's
do you?
All. No, I know because his passion was playing football and golf. It was never getting
over.
Behind a mic.
Now it's chapter two.
Oh, so the world is your oyster. No, you get off
sounds
the field
like
and
it
go
is
do
for
something
him.
Else. Okay.
You mentioned, let me ask you this, because you mentioned John Lynch. Remember,
he was damn good at it. Lynch was good.
Remember all the names we heard that would be a GM. Some retreads.
Matt Millen.
Some young guy. He was, oh my gosh, you're right. He called Matt Millen. I love Matt Millen, but not as a GM. Guys in Seattle, guys in Green Bay, you know, who's it going to be? And he takes a guy who not even once had anything to do with the front office in John Lynch. Did that offend you to all those guys paying their dues in front offices everywhere who put in the work that they should have got the job? Or is this just for broadcasting?
Just broadcasting.
It doesn't bother you in other walks of life then?
No, it doesn't. Let me tell you why real quick. Because those are personnel moves that don't affect me. But for the average everyday spectator.
Oh, it's all about you.
No, it's all about the sound, Rick. Hmm. It's all about the sound. I have to be subjected to listen to you do something you're not. That's what I'm talking about.
You got subjected to this four-hour show with me.
No, well, some people might feel that way, but you get where I'm going, Rick. Romo, this is just handed to him, and I'm like the caller. The dude was damn good at his job. And I was a guy that thought Phil Sims did an okay job, and CBS did up until I don't know when.
I'm going to throw something to you, and you might have to take a step back, wait a second, and give me an honest answer here.
All right.
Mustang Matt, and you are Cowboy fans, he pointed that out correctly. He also pointed out that as great as Tony Romo is and, you know, top 10 all-time and stats and ratings and all this, that he was a choker in the playoffs, even holding an extra point or a field goal, a choker in the playoffs.
I'll never forget it.
Do you and Mustang Matt let the disappointment of what Romo did to you affect you in this call, or is this completely separate from that?
That's a great question. I never even thought of it, but it's completely separate. Mm-hmm. Because what Mustang Matt echoed to us is pretty deep praise to be that efficient and that good. That's why I know, and I'm sad for Tony Romo, that he didn't get to show the football world just how good and a technician that he really was as an NFL quarterback. Because right now, the thing is, he's a goofball. He'll choke when it matters most. And it's disheartening, but I do know a guy that watched him almost every snap, Rick, he was smart, clever, and good at what he did.
Were you mad when he went with Jessica Simpson to Mexico, during the bye week or whatever?
Not at all. Get it in when you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are able to, and that's cool. You can differentiate this. It's got nothing to do.
Can I go somewhere else?
Please.
There's been some changes at another network that airs Sunday Night Baseball,
mm-hmm.
and it's terrible right now.
Tell us the changes.
The actual people that call the game on Sunday Night Baseball.
Okay, who is it?
Yeah, I'm not going to say names.
Well,
and it's just terrible.
If you bring it up, you got to say that.
No, it's just Sunday Night Baseball. You figure it out. Sunday Night Baseball. And right now, they're just playing musical chairs. John Kruk used to be on there doing
the games. It used to be John Miller and Joe Morgan forever.
Well, that was great. Joe Morgan, where's
forever,
he at? I'm looking for
Oakland.
Joe.
Oakland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But right now, it's just ridiculous, and I just feel bad. And there might not be too many people like me that even care who's broadcasting the game, but this guy here does, Rick.
Do you remember, I want to say it was late 80s, that NBC, just for fun, it was a Dolphins game in Miami. I forgot who they were playing. Maybe it was the Jets, but I forget who they're playing. They decided that they were going to air the entire game with just effects mics and no announcers.
Yeah, okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they wanted to see, maybe people hate the announcers. Maybe we'll get a better rating. And everyone loathed it because it just felt like you were in the worst seat in the house, and it didn't work. People want to hear someone saying, first and 10 Miami here.
Oh, yeah. This guy does.
Yeah. When you say this guy, you're pointing at yourself. I want to let everyone know.
Well, this guy.
The webcam is broken.
Yeah, my man just chimed in real quick, Rick. Yeah. Sacramento Kurt. He said he hates Joe Buck. And I just want to fall out my seat like Joe Buck is so great and so needed on a big game. I love him. I know it's subjective. He has people that don't like him. I don't get it. But Fox must get it because he's at every important event on their network
everybody,
because he's that good.
Everybody, right now, there are people saying that they love you and me or they hate you and me. It's just the way the business
totally
is.
Totally get that, Rick.
I can't stand that guy. They're like, oh, that guy's my favorite. It's just that's the way it is.
Right, but we're on here on a Saturday.
Yeah.
It's somebody's job at that television, at Fox, that really needs to just focus on what Joe Buck brings and what he doesn't. And I think
Joe
what
Buck
he
for
brings,
me is just
are you kidding?
It's vanilla bomb.
Oh my God!
I wouldn't if he didn't do it.
He's
I wouldn't.
Great man.
I have nothing against him. I wouldn't miss him, and I wouldn't even notice he was gone.
Wow.
Nah, it's just, and plus the Artie Lang thing, that's the best thing that ever happened to
right.
Joe Buck. Bip Roberts on the other side, Tittle Guru, 95.7 The Game.
It's Rick Tittle and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle and the Guru with you. Great to have you with us on a sunny Saturday afternoon. We'll take up until 4 o'clock. Warriors warm-up, of course, Warriors at Utah. Game 3, Western Conference semifinals. And we are your home of the Golden State Warriors. 95.7 The Game, also home of the Raiders and the Oakland A's. And we are now joined by a former A. Bip Roberts, of course, Padre and Red, an all-star and the pride of Skyline High School in Oakland as well. You can see him on NBC Sports California as an analyst for the Oakland A's. He's been there for a while. And, Bip, you know, we're kind of at the point in the season where I hate to be dramatic because it's still the first week in May, but with all the DL stints and all the calls up, and I kind of feel this season slipping away. I know that the A's were not going to go to the playoffs this year. I think you'd have to be Pollyanna to think that they were. I just would like to see some development in some guys. Where do you think we stand right now?
Well, I think you said it when you say that with the injuries and the DL, you know, it's really tough to put that frontline product out on the field, especially when you have to move utility guys around and fill in blanks. Also, you have to try to figure out what lineup you have to put on the field when you don't have all your key guys out there. You know, with losing Marcus Semien, I think that hurt because, again, you're losing your shortstop, your starting shortstop. And a guy that has athletic ability, a guy that can create runs, manufacture runs. He was starting to understand how to use the opposite field, use his speed, get on base to score runs, along with playing a solid shortstop. So you lose your frontline shortstop, and now you weaken yourself up the middle. Although Rosales has done a great job, you know, Marcus Semien is the starting shortstop. When you have other guys coming in and out of the lineup, you don't get that unity that you need from the lineup where you understand the guy in front of you, the guy behind you. And then you start talking about on defense where you're not catching the ball, which really hurts the pitcher because he's throwing extra pitches. He's giving away a lot of extra opportunities out there. And when guys get that hit, they cash in on it. So, you know, when you talk about all facets of the game and all phases of the game, right now the product is just not on that level that you'd like it to be. So you start to look at who can come up and help this team, who can motivate this team. And, you know, the name that keeps coming up is Barreto. So until he gets that seasoning that the A's need or someone goes down and go to the DL, you're not going to see him because they need him, you know, to play every day down in the minor leagues. But, you know, it's just been tough. You know, guys going to have to grind. I think that you got to keep playing. Some guys have to pick it up. You know, you want to see Stephen Vogt and guys like that get hot. And I just think that without having everyone on the same page right now, you're not going to win many games. So when you look at the facets of the game and you're not solid on either one, it's going to be tough to win games.
No doubt there's a lot of placeholders or stop gaps, if you want, guys like Plouffe and Joyce and Raj, you know, even with Rosie back, and who knew that he was going to play this much? We always knew that he had a great arm, Rosie with the hosey. But, you know, we got, as always, the A's like the minimum wage guys, the Jeff Deckers of the world. I want to ask you about Yonder, because when he was, the Louisville Bats, the AAA, the Reds, he was one of the top prospects in all of baseball. And we know the defense is so smooth, but he's got, what, seven jacks? The power is coming back, and he's in a walk year. And knowing that Healy still needs some more work, do you think maybe they're thinking about keeping Yonder after this year?
Well, I definitely would, because you have to have key pieces that can help you win. And, you know, Yonder early in his career, I think, you know, when you get to the big leagues, you just try to find a way to be successful and use your abilities to get you ahead in so many ways. And I think he just has such a great little swing that he just worked on swinging the bat to get hits. I think working with Manny Machado in the winter has allowed him to understand how to get that weight back a little sooner and to drive through the baseball, being a little more aggressive on first pitch. So Yonder Alonso, he's not my concern at all. I think he's one of the bright spots of this team. And without him, I have no idea where they would be, because he picks it at first, and then he comes up right now, and he's swinging a bat well, hitting for power as well. I think he's a guy that you might want to think – I think you might want to keep him, because, again, you need some veteran guys for leadership, and he's been one of those guys that stepped out to become a leader.
Bip, you know how much I respect you. I've needed advice. I've called you, and you were there for me and helped me out. And I just want to ask you about the incident that happened last week with Adam Jones. And as a black man – and hearing CeCe Sabathia say that 62, you know, of the African-American players are on a text thread or whatnot, and they know what to expect to go when they go to certain cities. And I'm rooting for Adam Jones, but I'm not mad at him by any stretch. But I guess my question would be, are you surprised in why he felt he needed to go to the media with that when he already knew and belongs to a thread where things are said and done? So, you know, I'm not condoning that. I'm just wondering, what were your thoughts and what would you have told Adam Jones after that experience?
Well, you know, you start thinking about who Adam Jones is and his reputation as a baseball player and as a human being. And you know, being a young man from San Diego, you know, talking with Dave Stewart and other guys, because I don't know Adam personally. I just watch him play, and I like what I see. And talking to those guys, man, they love this kid, and they respect this young man, and they like everything about him. So when a guy like that steps up and says what he said, it's because it's happening to him in the outfield. When you talk to the other players who played in Boston, it's happened to them in the outfield. So this is nothing new. It's just the fact that somebody decided to voice what was being said out there because they had enough. And sometimes when you stand in an outfield, you're alone out there, and people are coming at you like that, man. It's tough. And you have to muster everything in your body not to react. Everybody's not Jackie Robinson.
Wow.
You know, everybody's not Jackie Robinson. So when a guy has the fortitude to step up and talk about that, all it does is, in the heads of a lot of other players, African-American players, they know exactly what he was going through.
Appreciate that, Bip. Now, Sonny Gray had his debut this season. What were your thoughts on his? Because the first couple innings, Bip, I was like, okay, I see the velocity. Sonny swings and misses, and then, you know, that Minnesota got some home run balls, and it kind of got away from him. Was there any positives to take away from his outing?
Well, you know, he did make some good pitches. And he did not have that body tension that he had before, where you could see things bother him on the mound instantly. I think, you know, it's his first time out there. He was in AAA doing well, but, you know, when you come up to the big leagues, you can't make the same mistakes in the zones. And, you know, Minnesota was just crushing him. And it was just one of those things where I didn't like what I was seeing, but I really like what I wouldn't say I wouldn't like what I was seeing because of the home runs hit, but I like what I was seeing based on how he was able to command his pitches. So it was his first time out there. It's like being in spring training, your first time facing live hitters. I mean, first time he's faced big league hitters all year, basically. So, you know, it was a learning experience. I thought he did well. Yeah, he made some mistakes, and then they took advantage of it. But all in all, I thought he threw the ball well.
Bip, I'm looking at Chad Pinder, a kid that I really liked, and, of course, Texas League Player of the Year a couple of years ago, and a cup of coffee with the A's last year wasn't tremendous. And he's only had 26 plate appearances this year in 10 games, but he is hitting over 300. And in a way, I'd love to see him get a long run at second, but Lowry is swinging the bat well. So I'm trying to put the puzzle pieces in my head. If Semien's the shortstop, and they're going to maybe next year have Chapman at third, Barreto then is, you know, I know he tried a little outfield, but he's been mostly playing infield. He'll be at second. So there's just not enough spots. I know that's a nice problem to have, but what do you think about Chad? And would you like to see him, now that he's hitting over 300, maybe get a little more action?
Well, the one thing I like about Chad is that, you know, when you're young, man, you come up hungry and you want to take whatever's yours. And I like the heart that he has. And that's what the A's have to look at. You know, the guys that are coming out here playing with a lot of heart and trying to give you everything that they have each and every day. And a lot of times when you get these young guys coming up, they have no fear. And they're not worried about the names on the back of jerseys. They just go out and compete. And they want to show everyone why they should be there. And they want to, you know, kick butt and take names. So he seems like one of those guys. And he's one of those guys that I would love to have in the lineup every day, because when he goes out there, he's giving you 100%. Not only that, but he's playing with that heart that I keep saying. And you got to play with heart out here. And right now, you know, this team is going through some things, and they need one of these young guys to step up and just be that guy, you know, be that guy that we can look forward to seeing play each and every day based on giving us the effort that we need and to go out there and actually have some athletic ability and you can actually play. And so I just think that when you have young guys that need the opportunity to play, give them some at-bats. What is it going to hurt? You know, the team's not in first place right now. So let's develop some young players and see what they have.
Bip, one of the beautiful aspects of baseball to myself is that they play 162 games. So you go through things and you have time to change it. And right now the A's are only 5 games under .500, haven't even played 30 games yet. There's no way this team is feeling down or feeling like the season is over, right?
No, of course not. I just think that they need to play more arrogant and cocky. You need to.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
You know, you need to believe that you can beat everybody. You know, we keep hearing about this guy when they face him on the mound. Oh, he's such a great pitcher. And oh, he's this and he's that. Well, if you give the pitcher too much credit, he's going to dominate you. So take it from an old school guy. Give the pitcher no credit and go out there and find a way to kick his butt. That's what the A's need, more arrogance and more confidence.
There it is from Bip Roberts, wow. The pride of Skyline. And, of course, you can always check him out on NBC Sports California. A little A's pre and post there with Brody. Hey, listen, Bip, man, always great with your insights. Thanks for your time, especially on a weekend, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. You know I love this game, and anytime you guys need me, just give me a call.
Awesome stuff. That's Bip Roberts. Bip Roberts is one of the coolest dudes.
Yeah, I know. I met him, and I consider him a friend, call for advice. And he, I mean, you know, wouldn't charge me to take 20, 30 minutes and just let me pick his brain.
Very nice. All right, so on the other side, if you're on hold, we will get to you. 888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. A lot of people still have a lot of thoughts about Romo and Cutler sliding on into these TV jobs. Tittle Guru, 95.7 The Game.
It's Rick Tittle and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I like it. It's kind of a video game beat, Goo. Who is this, Wes?
Kanye West and Lloyd Banks.
Lloyd Banks.
Yeah, from G-Unit.
Very nice. Thanks, Wes. Welcome to the show. Rick Tittle and the Guru with you on 95.7 The Game, Crystal Clear FM. This is how FM sounds. This is how AM sounds. Just so we got that cleared up.
Wow, that was great.
That's always a great transition, I tell the kids. Whenever you want to transition, go, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. Call-in line, it's toll-free, 888-957-9570. Brad in Clayton, what's going on, my man?
Hey, not much. How are you guys today?
Pretty good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I was just wanted to weigh in on the announcer thing you guys were talking to, and I'm kind of on the side with Guru on this one. I was born and raised outside of Chicago, grew up a Cubs fan, lived 1 year in Southern California when I got out of college, and been in Northern California since 1981. And I think it's hard for us to be, easy for us to be critical of what we see and what we hear on other outlets, because we have such good people in this area and have had for decades that I don't know how much time, or if you guys have satellite radio and I've listened to other broadcasts, other announcers, but it's easy to get spoiled by the people that we have working in the Bay Area market, and they do such a great, job, and the quality of work is so good in all the media outlets for everything that I think it's easy for us to get critical of some of the stuff we see and hear coming on television, coming from other areas of the country, because everyone out here is so good that it's just hard to compete.
All right. Hey, Brad, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny, Guru, a lot of times, I think when you grow up in this area like I did, you kind of take it for granted until you travel around and you go, hey, home is actually pretty cool. Wow. I remember I was driving back from Phoenix one time and I had Sirius and I got all the MLB games. It is what he said was true. That's what I'm trying to say. I listened to at least three other broadcasts of other games, and it was amazing how much dead air. Now, some people like dead air, and you want to let the game breathe, as they say, especially in a big moment when someone wins a championship. You just want to shut up and let everybody celebrate. But there were just long, and then there'd be like some guy, all right, 2-2 is the count. Silence. All right, now it's 3-1. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, yeah, we can be a little bit
and
spoiled.
I had mentioned that to you with one of the benefits of being a big sports guy. Is the fact that I get these packages and you get the feeds, and I tend to grade not overly, critical. I grade with a curve, and these guys are still, whack, as we said earlier, in regard to like, wow, we are spoiled. A's, Giants, Warriors, Niners, Raiders.
Sharks.
We are spoiled. My point being, never underestimate for me what a good commentator brings to a game to enhance it. Mm-hmm. And when I heard, real quick, Jim Nance, along with Phil Sims, I'm getting so many people saying Sims didn't do it for him, but I got so accustomed to their rapport, their style, that I thought it was great. And
It's funny, for me, whenever, and for years when the Raiders stunk, we always got the lowest crew. Never in my life have I thought, ooh, it's Jim Nance and Phil Sims. This is going to be good. I could not care less who's doing the game. It's just they're either I'm either going to not notice them or they're going to annoy me.
You a big fan of Gruden?
I like Gruden, yeah.
Went up to like folk hero status.
Yeah, he's the next Madden.
Okay, so that's worthy is what I'm asking.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is that worthy?
He's funny, but I'm just saying. To me, they should be like refs. You shouldn't notice them. And they can add a little something there, and it's nice. And they would know when to raise their voice to be excited and then maybe not to raise their voice. They have to know the nuances of that.
And you mentioned Dick Enberg. Mm-hmm. If you listen to a Padre game, he was doing the Padres up until last year. He was great.
I can't stand the guy because he's just the most unprofessional San Diego Charger fan, Raider hater. And you can't do a broadcast like that. You can't root for one team and then say, unfortunately, the Raiders have scored a touchdown.
You won't let him live that.
I won't, no. And everyone's like, oh, he's the greatest. He's in the Hall. What a nice guy. And just, no. When it came, maybe baseball, he is great. I'm not going to even give him the chance. And I know this is like people in glass houses where, you were both on mics. But And play-by-play is hard. If we could do it, we would. We're not good enough.
Then
it's like speaking
you.
A different language. That's why Bill King was the greatest. He did it in three different sports. It's hard enough to be good at one.
Would you consider Bill a homer? And I'm saying that to say, there anything really wrong with being a homer? Because to me, it's like, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat that I don't work for this club and want them to win, but do it to where you don't demean, you know, the other team.
No, Bill King was the antithesis of a homer. But when the A's hit a dramatic home run, he would go on about it more than the other team because that's his job. You don't want to say, oh, my gosh, Jim Rice has hit a home run to win it for the Red Sox. Yay. He's not going to do that. But he'll definitely – I always thought that I learned from Bill King was just to respect the other guy and to treat everyone like a gentleman. And I remember he used to interview these guys who I thought were just scumbags, and he always treated them like he was interviewing, you know, Prince Philip of England or something. He was just such a class act at all times, and that's why I love the guy. And I would say the same thing about Korak. You can't tell.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah, it's an impartial way of announcing the game, and it's not an easy thing to do, but they know where their bread is buttered. There's no doubt. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey, our buddy Mitch. What's up, Mitch?
Mitch.
What's happening, guys? Mr. T, Guru, good show. My two cents since the NFL played hardball with Romo and with the guy, the Bay quarterback, that has just got another job. I guess when is Colin Kaepernick going to be hired by one of these broadcast stations, either Fox, CBS, or NBC?
I've been hearing that, football. Rick.
Hey, you never know. He definitely would get people to tune in. You know, like Rush Limbaugh says that more people listen to him who hate him than like him. And he doesn't care. He just wants the rating. He doesn't care if you hate
him. That's amazing.
Yeah.
He gets paid.
Yeah.
Too much. With the 49ers, they had a great draft. But they're just getting ready for it's almost the same uniform. They're going to be kind of like tanking it. Number 14, Sam Darnell. And the Raiders, I wish they had taken the Falcons in the first round. Why are they taking such a risk? They got the guy also from UCLA you had spoken about before.
Well, you mentioned that's Takaris. By the way, Mitch, thanks for the call. Takaris McKinley is a man after my own heart, born in Richmond like I was, went to Kennedy, my brother's school. My other brother played wide receiver at Contra Costa College. Takaris played at CCC as well.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So when he came out with a picture of his grandma, I almost started tearing up. That was my favorite moment. I know some people laughed at him.
Oh, dude, he got – who?
That was
who
half the
really
guys
went
I went to school
him.
With. I don't know. But
somebody on the air. Not here, but somebody went in on him bad. Yeah, Clay Travis.
Who's
went
that?
In. Clay? He does a Fox.
Clay? I don't know.
Like when you're asleep, he's doing it before the morning show.
Yeah, listen, for me, I just, when you hear the story that he made the promise and then she closed her eyes and died, I mean,
I got to tell you, Rick, I almost teared up, man.
I know, and it just...
At first, I'm like, what are you doing? And then the subject matter was his granny? Oh, I'm all on board.
I know, and like I said, from my hometown, went
Richmond
to each of my brother's schools.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, how good is he, Rick?
I don't know how good he's going to be. I hope he's, listen, they moved up. To take him, they're going to make him an edge rusher, and I hope he does well. I'll be rooting for him unless he's playing the Raiders, and I hope he gets zero sacks.
You mentioned Homer real quick. Jeremy Affeld is doing the Giants TV.
Mm-hmm.
Total homer, but he's great, and I like it. Like when the guys last night were getting squeezed, he wouldn't be afraid to, come on, that's a strike. And I'm just saying, I think I like that, Rick, if you know from the jump what it's going to be and you don't disrespect the other team.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that I like about John Miller is if you do something stupid, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. If you do something stupid, he will let you know.
Regardless of...
Especially if it's the worst piece of base running in the history of baseball.
What are you doing?
I think as he gets disgusted.
All right.
You know what? One of my favorite quotes from him a long time ago when he was on the syndicated show said, all the years he worked for the Orioles, all the years, every game he ever broadcast, Cal Ripken Jr. was the starting shortstop. I mean, it just kind of encapsulates that. All right, we got another hour together. Carno Litano is coming up at 3:30. We are going to talk Dubs here as we have an hour before Warriors warm-up. It is Rick Tittle and the Guru on 95.7 again.